The gospel reading today is our Lord tells us that without him we can do nothing. We, of course, recognize this is a true statement because he is God. But think of the people who heard that not knowing that he was God. How arrogant such a statement would sound. It's like one of these rich people who would look at an employee and say, without me, you're nothing. You can't do anything without me. And the person could look at him and say, just watch. I'll prove to you. I'll go out and start my own company and I'll show you myself. But they think because of their money or their power or whatever it may be that people are dependent on them and that they can't survive without them. Now on the surface, one might hear that and think how arrogant of a statement to say, without me, you can do nothing. But then we have to look a little further because he says something that should astound us to no end. He doesn't simply say, unless you abide in me. He says, abide in me and I in you. Look at the humility. This is not an arrogant man saying that there's nothing you can do without me. This is a man of absolute humility who says, I will abide in you and you abide in me. Think about that. This isn't just somebody saying you're dependent on me. This is somebody saying, I love you. And I love you so much that I want you to be in me and I in you. What a wonderful thing. And to recognize that this is where our life comes from. We can all understand, obviously, the analogy that's being used. You cut off a branch, it doesn't have any life in it anymore. It's cut off from the vine, it's cut off from the trunk of the tree, whatever you want to say, it's going to wither up and die. Makes perfect sense. And yet now what our Lord is telling us is not simply, okay, make sure that you remain in me and we'll just keep the life coming, which is exactly indeed what happens, the grace that comes to us because of our union with him. But he turns it the other way. And he says, I will abide in you. And he didn't just say it once, he said it three times in that little reading that we just heard. So unless you will remain in me and I in you, think about that. Again, we can certainly understand he is God, and yes, we need to remain in him, and yes, without him we can do nothing. We all acknowledge that. But the fact that he wants to remain in us, that should put us flat down on our face to see how much he loves us. Now, of course, we then have to then understand how this works. The only way we can remain in him and he in us is if we're in the state of sanctifying grace. It's the only way that the life of Christ can be in us, because sanctifying grace is the life of Christ. But we know that the Holy Trinity dwells within us only when we're in the state of grace. And we dwell in him only when we're in the state of grace. So that's the key, is that we need to maintain always that union with Christ. And as we hear in the reading, the Lord doesn't just want a simple union. As gardening season starts, if you planted a garden, you'll know that as some of the plants begin to grow, you trim some of them off, you find the suckers on the tomato plants and you cut those off, whatever it may be. That's so that everything else can flourish even more. So that the fruit that's born isn't just going to look like cherry tomatoes, but it'll look like bigger tomatoes because it's got more of the life going to it. That's what the Lord wants for us too. not just to be green, not just to be stuck on him. He wants us to bear fruit. So remember that passage of the fig tree that the Lord cursed. Oh, it had all kinds of nice greenery on it. It was a very full plant. It just didn't have any fruit. So he's not just looking for us to look pretty. He's looking for us to bear fruit. So it's not just enough to say, well, the absolute minimum is good enough. No, he wants the best for us. Not the least, the most. And it's not because he gets something from it, because we know that he doesn't. He is God. There is absolutely nothing that we can add to God because he is absolutely perfect. So he's doing this because it's the best for us. It is best for us if we are in him. And it is infinitely beyond our imagination that he would be in us. And that's exactly what he does, because that's what is the best for us. And now, if we will get out of the way and allow him to work in us, we can actually bear great fruit. Not because it's us doing it. Look what I can do. Oh, he already told us without him, we can't do anything. But the more that we allow the life of Christ to be in us, the more that we're conformed to him, the greater the fruit is going to be. That's what he's looking for, because it is what's best for us. Now, we have to turn that the other way too, because love is a two-way street. And so, what is best for us? Just to bear fruit? So we can say, hey, look at what I got. I got the biggest tomatoes in the whole plot. No, that's not what he's saying. What is best for us, interestingly, is to glorify God. The more glory that we can give to God, the better that is for us. Not better because that'll give us a higher place in heaven, or because I can be thought to be a greater saint, or I'm holier than you, or whatever. No. Because it's simply what is best for us as human persons. That's what the Lord is looking for. So he gives himself to us and glorifies us. And now, in turn, we want to give ourselves to him and glorify him. Remain in me, and I in you. Two-way street. Two loving one another. Two giving, two receiving. That's what he's telling us. So now the question is, we look at his humility. Do we have the humility to do this? How often our pride gets in the way? Do we have the humility to abide in him, to allow him to abide in us? Do we have the humility to glorify him instead of trying to glorify ourselves? Do we have the humility to recognize that without him we can do nothing? And at the same time, with him, nothing is impossible. We can do anything in him who strengthens us, as St. Paul says. So that's the trade-off. We give everything to him, and he gives everything to us. It's not fair. He gets nothing, we get everything. And yet, as the saints tell us, where everything is given, nothing is lacking. So if you give everything, even though next to him it's, you know, a tiny fraction of a fraction compared to what he's giving to you, nonetheless, you're giving 100%. And he's giving 100%. You abide in him, He abides in you. He glorifies you. You glorify him. And God is praised and glorified because in him you will bear great fruit.